Sing about that wonderful day. Glory dawning morning. Amen. On the glory dawning morning, we shall meet our Lord above, for he's coming soon to lift us from below. On his throne of wondrous splendor, we shall praise him whom we love. Oh, the glory up in heaven we shall know. Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by. Free from sorrow, pain, and woe, we'll be caught up from below, there to live with Jesus while the ages fly. On the glory dawning morning, we shall cast our golden crowns for the one who washed us in his precious blood. Like the sound of many waters, voices then will mingle praise to Emmanuel who brought us unto God. Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by. Free from sorrow, pain, and woe, we'll be caught up from below, there to live with Jesus while the ages fly. On the glory dawning morning, there will be a marriage grand. Many guests will be assembled in the air to behold the holy union of the bridegroom and the bride, and enjoy the marriage supper rich and rare. Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by. Free from sorrow, pain, and woe, we'll be caught up from below, there to live with Jesus while the ages fly. On the glory dawning morning, when the saints have gathered in, and the time of Jacob's troubles will have ceased, we'll be reigning with the bridegroom with all his glory then. In his kingdom all will be in perfect peace. Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by. Free from sorrow, pain, and woe, we'll be caught up from below, there to live with Jesus while the ages cry. Sing it again. Oh, what glory we shall see, what rejoicing there will be on that glory dawning morning by and by. Free from sorrow, pain, and woe, we'll be caught up from below, there to live with Jesus while the ages fly. 89. At the cross. Amen. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Could he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for Christ that I had done? He groaned up on the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and stop his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Sing it again, here we go. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. into your holiness, when I gaze into your holiness, when all things that surround me become shadows in the light of you. When I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthralled in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. Joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthralled in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. I worship you. The reason that I live is to worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Thank you. great surviving live is to worship you. Amen. We worship you, Lord. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonder of your mighty love. My comfort, power of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the word of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Thank you, Father. Holy and anointed. Thank you, Father. Jesus. Jesus. Holy and anointed one. Jesus. Your name is like honey on my your spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is like a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus. Jesus. Risen and exalted one, Jesus, your name is like honey on my lips, your spirit's like water to my soul, your word is like a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you, Jesus. Jesus. Risen and exalted.
Praise the Lord. God is good. Talking about the sign on the wall in case it gets recorded. Praise the Lord. The signs of his coming. How many times have I spoke on that? You know what? We're humans. And we don't retain everything that we hear, do we? And even if we read it every day, we still need it every day. So, praise the Lord. Well, I want to talk to you about how near we are to the coming of the Lord. And another couple of words came to me to title this, and it's these words, press on. Press on. It is time for the coming of Jesus. Press on. Don't let Satan distract you. Be right now dedication to this fact that Jesus Christ is going to come very, very soon. Be ready is another thing Jesus said. Be ready. This is the end of the age. We're just about finished with the church age. And we're going to be going away to be with the Lord forever. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 24 where the disciples asked Jesus what would be the signs of his coming. And of course, a lot of this chapter is pertaining to the tribulation time, which we're not in just yet. But we're just going to read a few scriptures here and then go on to Paul's gospel. But notice in verse 3, as he was there with the disciples on the Mount of Olives. Have you all ever seen a picture of the Mount of Olives? I hope all you have. Great, great big hill across from the city of Jerusalem, the big gate, the eastern gate, where we believe that Jesus will walk through one of these days. Way up here, that's where they were, on the Mount of Olives. And his disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" What shall be the sign of thy coming? You know, that's important for us to watch for the signs of the coming of the Lord. And I think that this COVID virus that we're having right now, all over the whole world, I really believe that this is a sign that the Lord is saying, be ready, be yielded right now because my coming is very, very near. I really believe that. Praise the Lord. God is not pleased with this earth. I heard a minister talking this week, and he was saying that the things that have happened in the United States, for instance, the recognition of the homosexuals as being normal and everything, and in our even in our Constitution, giving them rights there. And then also the abortion situation, where there's just ready-made abortion for all over. And now in our new presidency that we're coming in, a lot of things are going to be restored back like they were. And so we live in the end time, and we need to be watching for the signs of his coming. The signs of his coming. Praise the Lord. This word can mean an indication or a token of his coming, or a phenomena that will show that it's about to happen. I think we're seeing a phenomena. That's what it means in the Greek, okay, the New Testament written in Greek. That's what it means. And I think that we are seeing a phenomena right now, a happening that is trying, God is trying to speak to us and to the world, that the only hope for us is the Lord. The Lord is our strength and our hope, and the believers in Christ need to be watching and waiting for the coming of Jesus at any time. And I trust the Lord's blessing on this. I didn't pray over it, but we've prayed before, so we'll trust the Lord's blessing for this. Now he says, what shall be the sign of the end? And that means the entire completion or the summation of this dispensation. They're saying, when will it happen, Lord? When will it happen? The completion of all of this. Praise the Lord. The end, the word end there means consummation, the time when it will all end. And the word coming is a word that we see in many other places in the Bible where the Lord, where Apostle Paul talks about the coming of the Lord. And you will recognize this Greek word because I remember hearing this even from Brother Astle years ago, the parousia, or the parousia, it looks like it's better pronounced that way. But the coming of the Lord to take away his people, that's going to happen very soon. And this is what they were asking about. And the end or the consummation of the world. Now, the word world here doesn't mean the earth blowing apart or something like that. In fact, the Greek word of that, rather than the word world, is the age. What he says will be the sign of the coming of the age, the ending of the age. Now, what age are we in? If you've studied the dispensations of time where mankind has been all of this time since Adam, one different situation after another. Right now, we are in the grace age. And this is a question, when will all of this end, and when will the Lord Jesus Christ come back again and reign, and when will we be going to be with the Lord? That's what they were asking. Now I want us to look in, before we look there, turn in your Bible to 24:30, the 30th verse of chapter 24. And again, he mentions this word sign. Now, in this place, he's talking about his coming at the end of the tribulation, when he will come in power and glory. When he comes the first time, he's going to come as a thief in the night. And only those that are watching and waiting for him will see him or hear him and be translated into his presence. In verse 30 of chapter 24, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now this is at the end of the tribulation, after there's been all these horrible plagues and all this stuff happened during those 7 years. At the end of the tribulation, the Lord Jesus is going to come back in power and glory. We read of that in chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, where it says there he'll be riding on a white horse, and the saints of God that are overcomers will be riding with him, coming down to the earth. But notice the sign, again, that word sign. The sign, praise the Lord. There are many signs in the world today that Jesus Christ is coming again right away. Praise the Lord. So, glory to God. We're going to turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. brother will be teaching this one of these days, so he'll repeat again. It's a good message. It's a message that needs to be repeated. Praise the Lord. If we hear it a dozen times, maybe we'll grasp it. But in this third chapter of 2 Timothy, Apostle Paul writing, he says this and no. Now he is giving a warning. He's talking to these believers, and he's saying, this is something you need to know. And this morning, this is something you need to know. That's why the Holy Spirit impressed me to preach on this. You need to know this. The time is short. There is going to come a time when we will be taken away to glory. And he says that this, that in the last days, we are in the last days. The Greek, when it says this, know, it means something very specific to know. Not like I know my timetables or I know that the world is round. He's not talking about that. He's talking about a knowledge that Jesus Christ is coming back to this world, and it is soon. I'm saying this very vehemently because I want us to get it in our minds. We don't have time for a lot of junk right now. We don't have time for a lot of worldly things because the coming of Jesus is at hand. Know this, he says. Understand this. This is something you really, it's something very specific to know. And the word know, does that mean that, okay, I've heard that before. Yeah, that's something that they preach down there at Grace Chapel. Jesus Christ is going to come back again. That's not the word know. The word know means to be aware. Be aware of it. Now, I can tell you all day that the sky is blue. But if you're not aware of that, it doesn't really mean anything. Okay? But when I tell you that the coming of Jesus is at hand, it's something you really need to know. You need to be aware of this for sure. And it means to know absolutely. That's the meaning of this Greek word. Not just, oh yeah, I know 2 + 2 = 4. I know that. I've heard that all my life. That's what people say about the truth a lot of times. I've heard it all my life. People have taught me that all my life. Jesus hadn't come yet, so he must not be able to come very soon. Times are changing rapidly. Times are changing. Things are looking bad for this world. And we need to be, to know absolutely and be aware and have knowledge and be sure of is another meaning of it. To know, if you know something, you're sure about that. Yes, and that's what it means in this place. And then he says, in the last days. And that means the ends of or the latter end. Okay, so there's been a lot of days go by since God created the day and the night, huh? There have been a lot of days. But the Lord says in another place, my spirit will not always strive with man. That's, I believe, the 6th chapter of Genesis where he's about to create the flood to come and wash away all of the unbelievers. So we are living in the last days, and we need to realize that the end is very near. Now, he uses the word perilous, perilous. That word in the Greek means a reduction of strength. What does that mean? Well, you can look at it two ways. The people of the world don't have the strength that they used to be moral, do they? It seemed like years ago, things that are happening now, they wouldn't even have thought of back there. I remember my aunt telling about a vicious murder that happened probably back in the 40s. I was born in 40. And I remember her telling about that, and it was just so horrible. Everybody talked about that one murder forever. It seemed like every time we'd get together, they'd say, you know, how that man killed his wife and so forth. And, you know, it was disturbing. And now it is just so commonplace. There's just so many murders in the United States. There are just horrible, horrible actions being taken of all kinds. That's what it means, a reduction of strength, perilous times, difficult times, dangerous times, furious. It means furious, perilous, furious times, riots, people acting like imbeciles, running out trying to make trouble. Fierce times, and notice, shall come. These times are going to come, and they are here. They are here today. Praise the Lord. Now, is this being all of us supposed to be scared, and we got to run home and get us a revolver and live in our house and be ready that if anybody tries to harm us, that this isn't what this means. We have to commit our way to God and let Him take care of us. And He's going to take care of us. I'm not speaking against guns. That's between you and the Lord. My husband had guns. Of course, he was a hunter. But, you know, this is what the Lord wants of us. Now, notice in verse 2. For, all right, what will cause this terrible, perilous time to come about? There's going to be some things that happen, Paul says. And in Paul's day, think of Paul's day. Oh, my goodness. The Roman government was showing itself off everywhere in any area. People that didn't agree with them, they were throwing them in there to be martyred in the Colosseum. They were making them fight against other men with all sorts of weapons. They were horrible to the Christians, weren't they? So if we're talking about the end time, think of these things in the end time now, how they would compare to the times of long ago. Men shall be lovers of their own self. Isn't that true? It's all about me. If I can get my way, if I can gain what I want. That's what people today are. They are lovers of their own self. Notice that word lovers. Lovers. They love their own selves. And if you look down in verse 4, you see another thing at the last part of that verse. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So they're not only lovers of their self, but they want every pleasure there is. They want to be involved in all kinds of stuff going on in the world. And they'll do those things rather than go to church. If it's on a church time, they won't be in church because they have to go to that thing. They've got to be there and that lover of those pleasures. And, of course, there are many, many pleasures it talks about. And the next thing that we see there about the lovers, that these men shall be lovers of their own self. What does that speak of? That speaks of selfishness. Selfishness, narcissistic. To be a narcissistic person means that you only are thinking of yourself. Whatever affects me, that's what I'm going to do. If I'm not happy, I'm out of here. You've heard people make that remark. They are not willing to put up with any kind of distress at all, but only their own self. They are self-focused. And isn't that the world today? We live in a world that is self-focused. They don't think about how it affects other people, all the meanness and stuff they do. Yes. And then going on, covetous. They're covetous. And this means a lover of money. And we say, well, there's a lot of things to be coveted of, yes. But in this word, especially means impelled by greed. Greed. I've got to have more. I've got to have more. I've got to have more. It's amazing, isn't it? Just thinking about minimum wage being up to $12 an hour. I can remember when I made $12 and $13 an hour on a job, and it was considered high. That was a high amount to be paid for a job. And now that's going to be a minimum wage. My goodness, I think I'll go back to work. No. Praise the Lord, I'm not. Okay, so they're covetous and they're boasters. That means they're braggarts and they're arrogant. How much arrogancy there is in this world today. Isn't it? Can't you see that? Can you see by your mind and your thinking of your mind's eye, they say, how wicked the world is today? Yes. They're braggarts and they're arrogant. And of course, pride comes into that, doesn't it? Yes. Proud. They're proud of themselves. They're proud of their achievements. And pride goes before a fall, is what the scripture says. And pride is a characteristic of the human being that was manifested right there in the Garden of Eden. And boy, ever since, we've had problems with pride. Every one of us do, by the way. We all have problems with our pride. We want things to pretty much go our way, and we don't like other people usurping authority over us or anything. So, you know, it's a characteristic of the flesh. And what it means is haughty, to be haughty, to appear above others. I'm better, I can do it better. That's pride. And it keeps us, pride keeps us from seeing our need. I don't need any help. I don't need anybody to tell me what to do. I don't need them to talk to me about the Lord. Well, I know all about that. I've heard that since I was a child. See, that's all pride, isn't it? Yes. So going on, blasphemy. Of course, we see that, don't we? Blasphemy. It's showing contempt or a lack of reverence toward God. Anything that is done to show contempt and lack of reverence toward God. And it behooves us to be really careful that we don't blaspheme. You know, cursing and using the Lord's name in vain is blasphemy. And we need to be careful because our flesh, you know, we have a flesh, and we may get angry and say something that is very, very bad, impious toward our Lord, showing contempt or lack of reverence. And then notice disobedient to parents. That's interesting. In Paul's day, do you think the children were disobedient to their parents? They're much more so now, aren't they? That's why the scripture says for us to raise up a child in the way he shall go, in the spiritual way, so that he will not be depart when he gets older. So that's what we desire, to try to raise our children in a spiritual way. In our day, many parents are on drugs. It's pathetic. My daughter and her husband are dealing with a man who rents a house down there that they have, and he's raising his niece and nephew. The parents of this child, his sister and brother-in-law, are all on drugs so bad they've lost custody of their children. So this young man, who's a caseworker, that type of person, he's adopted those children, and he takes care of them. But he also has a bunch of other children, and so he raises these. And I get a lot of word through him about what's happening in our state of Kansas. Now, this is happening all over the United States. There are hundreds of children in the state of Kansas that the parents are not taking care of. And they are living, oftentimes, they're spending the night in office buildings up here of the welfare department because they don't have any place to go. That's pathetic. That is a terrible condition, isn't it? And in 2019, this is a statistic. You know, I like to look up things. So this is a statistic. In the United States, in 2019, there were 672,000 children which spent time in foster care. Can you imagine? They're worried about some people dying from COVID. I think in the United States, maybe, isn't it up around 300 and something thousand? Imagine having 672,000 children in foster care that maybe don't even have a home, don't have anywhere. And in the United States, any day, 424,000 children are in foster care. Now, see, the reason the number is different is because they do find homes, foster care, that's in families that they are, okay? And so you talk about disobedient to parents. The parents are being disobedient to God. They're so disobedient that they think nothing. They put themselves before their own children. They have no natural love for their own children. How thankful we should be if we were raised in a family where our parents loved us and provided for us. That's a wonderful thing, you know? We could have been like these poor little things, disobedient to parents, unthankful. How many people are so unthankful for what they have? And notice, unholy. Of course, when we have all these characteristics of the old flesh just ruling our lives, and there are going to be unholy things in our lives. That word actually means wicked. Wicked. People killing their own children. People killing others. Wickedness. Verse 3, without natural affection. And that is the big cause of everything, isn't it? God has given us a natural affection, a natural love for one another, for our parents, for our children. But the old fleshly nature and the old devil is working in people and making them not love like they should. The Amplified Version says this natural affection. It says unloving, devoid of natural human affection, calloused, and inhumane. Calloused. What happens when you get a callus? You don't notice that your heel hurts as badly because the callus is hiding over the split. Have you ever had a split in your heel? I get little splits in my thumbs in the wintertime. And it's painful. But how do you do it? You put stuff on there to coat it over so that it won't be exposed. And that's how the fleshly people of this world, anyone that walks in their flesh, does. They hide the cause. They hide the feelings so that it won't bother them so much. And notice it says truce breakers. And this means a violator of a covenant. We see that internationally, don't we? That people break the covenants. They make an agreement and then they break it. That's happened all the time throughout history. But a truce breaker also, it happens in marriage. They've made a covenant, then it breaks. And in legal cases and in dealings of mankind with different kinds of things, they break their word. They don't keep the truce. And this is the evil of the old nature that we have. All of us are capable of any of these things. You realize that, don't you? You and I are capable of being really fleshly and worldly and not under the protection of the Lord because we're so wicked. We can be that way. Praise the Lord. But we have Christ, and he's the one that's going to give us strength. Praise the Lord. High-minded. They're high-minded. On down. I have to find my place. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Yes. I think that's one thing that we all need to ask ourselves. Do we love the pleasures of the world more than we love the pleasures of God? I think that's really important to know whether we do. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Having a form, just going through the rigmaroles. This is what I do. I go to church. I sing. I do so and so. That isn't what the Lord wants. He wants a yielded, totally yielded vessel that is walking in the Spirit, yielding to God, and putting him first in their life. Yes. Traitors in verse 4 speaks of betrayal. In verse 13, it says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. See, that's traitors, being deceiving of others. The greatest deceiver is Satan, And he's working in the world today. Yes. But notice in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Where did Timothy learn his things? He learned them from Apostle Paul. But the Holy Spirit had to reveal those things to him also. And that's what the Lord did for him. Praise the Lord. And I think I got ahead of myself, but in verse 4, it says, high-minded. This means to be inflated with self-defeat. That's what it means in the Greek. Lifted up with pride. I know it. I am better than others. I am smarter than others. All that stuff that the flesh declares of itself. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And we went over that a while ago. And we see that, you know, when I was a child and my dad was a minister, when he held a revival meeting, the meeting house was full of people. They couldn't find enough chairs for the people back in the 40s and the 50s. And now it's very difficult to get people to church. It shows us that people are lovers of pleasure more than they are lovers of God. That's what's happening in the world. Yes. And then we already went over having a form of godliness, but where it says they're denying the power, that word in the Greek says the miraculous power. In other words, not denying what power we have as a human being, or what so-and-so, you might think, oh, they're such a powerful speaker. You know, they're such a powerful preacher. Not talking about that. It's talking about the power of God in our lives. And the form of godliness is just what is on the outward. You see it. It means, that word is metamorphosis. You know what metamorphosis means. The worm turns into a caterpillar. Well, this miraculous power is going to change us. A form. They just have a form of this miraculous power. Praise the Lord. So, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What does that mean? I think all of us are aware that doctrine means teaching, learning, what the Lord brings to us through others, even or through the word of studying the word of God. The doctrine of the Word of God. Some people say, I don't like doctrine. Well, they don't like a lot of the Word then, because the Word of God is full of teaching, and that's what that means. And the word reproof means conviction. He says the Scripture is inspired by God and profitable to teach us, but also to bring conviction on us so that we will know when we need help. See, when we signal, when we have a signal, we feel convicted about something, then that means God is dealing with us to have a victory over some problem that we have that we're not overcoming. And then he says, for correction. You know that word, it's like my mother, to use this illustration, I used to be so humpy when I was a child, so she made me wear this brace. She was going to determine that I was going to stand straight, tall like this. Well, she made me do that. I was about in the fifth and sixth grade. And finally, one day, she saw what the brace was doing to my arms. It was making me almost bleed right here. It was pulling me back, and, you know, it was horrible. I was so miserable in school and everything with that. She wanted a child that stood upright, and I'm still humpy. You probably noticed that. Anyway, but the word correction means to straighten up, again. The word again is in there, okay? There are many of us, all of us, I can say this, all of us have had times when we weren't straight. When the Lord, we weren't letting the Lord really work on us and make us straight. But thank God he didn't put a brace on us that hurt us so bad we couldn't make it. I never held that against my mom. She was just that type of person who wanted everything perfect. Anyway, God is faithful to straighten us up again. We get crooked, he gives us the word, and we get straightened up again. And then it says the word of God is also for instruction. And that word means teaching, and it also means training, and it means chastising or to nurture. Now, when I think of nurture, I think of feeding a child, nutrition. That's what God is doing in our life through his word. He's making us ready for the coming of Jesus. He is nurturing us, teaching us, and training us, and chastening us when we need it, just like a parent does their child, because we want them to grow up to be a good person. And so we chasten them, different types of chastening. All right. And he says, instruction in righteousness. That doesn't mean self-righteousness. It means letting God work in us, the righteousness of Christ. And verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. Thoroughly furnished. I like that. That word thoroughly furnished means to equip fully. To equip fully. Why do we study the word? I've heard the word all my life. Why do we study now? Is it something I never heard? No. And I'm sure some of you have been studying the word like that for years and years and years and years. Why do we study it? Because we're not yet fully equipped. We're not yet fully furnished. Thoroughly, the word thoroughly, completely equipped. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? So what is the word of God doing for us today? He's equipping us. And you know what comes with that is all good works. All good works. Apostle Paul was a man who did good works, didn't he? He worked for his own living so that he wouldn't be chargeable to others. And he was so faithful to the word of God, even in prison when he suffered so much in a horrible place to be. And yet he was there being faithful to God. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus is coming. If you want to be ready, tell Jesus that. I'm going to tell you something. If you tell Jesus you want to be ready for the coming of Jesus and you really mean it, you're going to have trials in your life. You're going to have trials. There isn't one of us here today that hasn't had trials or not having trials right now. Trials change us. Trials make us grow in Christ. Trials make us cry out to God. Help, Lord! That's what he wants. He wants us to be crying out to him, not depending on our own strength to overcome, but depending totally on his power to do that in us, okay? So we're going to sing a song, and feel free if you want to come and pray at the altar or if you need any prayer, just feel free to come up. We'll be seeing, okay?
Let's stand and turn to 175 in the Grace of Glory, 175. Closing days of time, what joy the glorious hope affords, that soon, O wondrous truth sublime, he shall reign King of kings and Lord of lords.
coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy we welcome his returning. It may be morn, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon. The signs around in earth and air, war painted on the starlit sky. God's faithful witnesses declare that the coming of the Savior draweth nigh. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy we welcome his returning. It may be morn, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon. The dead in Christ to meet us lie, in countless numbers all shall rise. When through the portals of the sky we shall come to prepare our paradise. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy we welcome his returning. It may be morning, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon. And we who living yet remain, caught up shall meet our faithful Lord. This hope we cherish not in vain, but we comfort one another by his word. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy we welcome his returning. It may be morn, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon.
Sing it again. Here we go.
He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy we welcome his returning. It may be morn, it may be night or noon. We know he's coming soon.